So tonight we're trusting the Lord to release God encounters. So I'm going to try and psych you up and release a bit of faith in this house so that we may realize that Jesus is alive. Amen. Let's say Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And he wants to touch us. He wants to change us. So at the end of the meeting tonight, there are two groups of people we're going to be praying for. If you're in high school, we want to pray for you. If you're a student, we want to pray for you specifically. And if you want a God encounter, then we want you also to respond and come forward. We had an epic meeting last night and a really epic meeting this morning. And God is really moving. He's real. He's alive. He's with us. And one encounter, when the love of Christ touches our hearts, it transforms us. It changes us. Amen. So I felt the Lord say to me that I must first do a deep work within you before I can do a great work through you. And that's what this weekend is about. This revival weekend is about setting aside the time. And we've really been praying. Some of us have really been spending time in the presence of God and trusting that the heavenlies will be unblocked and that people have God encounters. Amen. So God must first do a deep work in us. This is what I feel the Lord is saying to us as a church. Before the masses are going to flood in, He wants to light a fire in us. He wants to take us deeper into Him. So let's say it. God is lighting a fire in me. Amen. I want you to say it because when you speak the word, you see the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Best thing when to hear the word is when you say it yourself. Speak it over your life. And so this morning I was sharing, yesterday evening I was speaking about the cross. Revival flows forth from the cross. This morning I was sharing that revival flows forth from the presence of God. In other words, when God is present, we've got revival. The greater the tangible presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, the greater measure of revival will break out. And what I feel the Lord is saying to me is just one heart at a time. Just one heart, one heart. You experience revival when Jesus touches your heart. And so tonight is about a changed heart. Because revival flows forth from a changed heart. You see, when the Lord removes my heart of stone, He gives me a heart of flesh by the Holy Spirit, revival has just come to me. And now it can begin to overflow. And I feel that's what God's going to do tonight. He's going to take out a hardness of heart by the power of His Spirit and bring a renewal. I mean, this morning we're praying for some people. They had God encounters and they were like, afterwards like, wow. I don't know what that was, but I feel changed. I feel changed. And so I shared this morning about you know, we got a confirmation this week or last week that is now that we're going to, that we've been asked to go to Brazil again to go minister to a church of 8,000 people. And I'm like, okay, God, who am I? Who am I? Who are we to go to a church of 8,000 people and think we can do something? But then I shared this morning that Moses went through the same thing, just much worse. He had the burning bush experience. He had the God encounter. God spoke to him and said, now come, I will send you to Egypt to set my people free. And Moses' response was, who am I to go to Pharaoh? I've got a few sheep. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. And the Lord's response was, surely I will be with you. And so what he was saying is not just that I will be with you, but who am I? Who are you, Moses? You're the man that I want to be with. You're the man that I want to spend time with. Isn't that amazing? And I believe that is the call. That is, if we want to release the power and the presence of God over East London and over South Africa, we want God to move. This is what needs to happen. You and I need to become men and women that God loves to be with. Amen. Imagine that God would want to be with you. That's your identity. That's the label. I want to be with Alan. I want to be with you. This is my passion. I want to be with you. And that was so with Moses. Amen. Receive it as a word. But that was for Moses. And if you look at the story of Moses, he was God's friend. He spoke to God face to face. And I believe there's a cry in the spirit right now going out to every one of us. Do you want to be that man? Do you want to be that woman? Do you want to be the one that God says, I want to be with you? And I believe that's the call. That's what I'm hearing in the spirit. I feel that's what God is saying to me. How holy can we be? How consecrated can we be? How passionate can we be? How obedient can we be? How sold out for Christ can we be? The fruit, you will know him. And revival will break out. Amen. So there's this quote that says, nearly all that we call human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find happiness in something other than God. Wow, that speaks. Nearly all that we call human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find happiness in something other than God. That's why we have wars. That's why we have all the chaos, because some man or some woman or some child, young person, is trying to find happiness, but in the wrong place. Because we're all looking for happiness, aren't we? We want to be happy. We desire that. But the question is, where are we looking for it? Where are we looking for it? Because if we look in the wrong places, we will miss out on what God wants to do. And the next photo is of a guy who we prayed for in Brazil. Now this man is another terrible story, sad story. I was trying to find out all the exact details, so still get back to me. But about 9 months ago, now about 11 months ago, he was shot in his neck. So that was probably someone trying to find happiness in the wrong way. And he was shot, and he became a quadriplegic for 9 months. And he couldn't make a fist with his hands. He couldn't feel his stomach or his legs or his feet. And so we prayed for him. And we were trusting Jesus because we had this word. Since before the missions trip, I felt the Lord saying, pray for people in wheelchairs. Pray for people in wheelchairs. And one of our guys praying for us, Brad, he says on the day we left, they went to Mozambique for holiday. And he says every morning he went to the beach and all he heard was wheelchair. A man in a wheelchair, someone in a wheelchair, so that he was praying for us, praying that we would pray for someone. So I was saying every day, there's a guy in a wheelchair, bring him. So we had five meetings at this one church, 4-hour meetings, almost each one of them. Thank you, Jesus, my feet were killing me. But amazing things were happening. And so on the last night, someone brought this man, about 25, 26 years old. And you can imagine what he must be going through. And he was a Christian when he was younger, but then he went through this hell and he turned away from Jesus. We had the privilege of leading him back to Christ on then at that service. And then we prayed for him for quite a while. And after a while, he could open his hands and close his hands, could make fists with his hands. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. And as we prayed, he just said he felt fire on his stomach, fire on his legs and fire on his feet. And he couldn't feel anything. I mean, I could pinch him. He'd feel nothing, nothing, nothing. He didn't walk in the moment, but 2 days later, he said his feeling returned on his stomach and his legs and his feet. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he was shot in the neck. The wound was there. There was no way. I mean, there was God supernaturally has begun to heal him. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is still moving. And he's even taking our bad stories. I mean, imagine that guy walking in the near future, going around telling people, here's the evidence, medical evidence. I was shot in the neck. I was a quadriplegic. They prayed for me. The fire of God came upon me and I walked. Now, if he walks in a day or walks 3 months later, it doesn't matter. But I believe the time is coming that people are going to jump out of their wheelchairs in Jesus' name. Amen. Because Jesus is alive, but he's calling us. He's calling us. He's calling us. Come to me. Become that man. Become that woman sold out for me, and you will experience my glory. Amen. And so what does revival look like? It's more than healed bodies. It is new hearts. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. This is revival. This is a picture of revival. This is what the Lord is doing this weekend. It says there, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean." Say, shall be clean. Ah, beautiful. "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Amazing. "Then I will give you a new heart." Say, new heart. "And put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you." This is the key. "I will put my spirit, my fire, I will put it within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them." This is a picture of revival. God coming to cleanse us from all our filthiness. You can't know him when you're filthy. You can't know him when you're bound by iniquity. He must first cleanse you. And then he comes and he puts a new heart, takes out the heart of stone and puts in a new heart. Oh, it's beautiful. I remember as a young man, I hated people. I didn't like people very much. They hurt me so much. So we had two dogs and two cats. Man, I love those animals. Loved my cat. Slept on me in the night. Just slept all over me. All the hair and things. I loved these animals. I didn't like people because people wounded me too much. You know, the first thing that happened after coming to Christ is I got a new heart. I began to see every person, black, white, colored, or whatever way you want to categorize it. Beautiful people. Made in the image of God. Precious. My heart began to break for people. My heart began to burn for people. I would do stupid things. I was a first year, and in my first year at university, I had two of these, not a court case, but I was had these disciplinary hearings in the hostel for drinking on telephone duty and messing around, etc. That was the middle of my first year. Beginning of the next year, I came to Christ in that time. The beginning of my second year, I preached to the 120 guys in the dining room. I made a fool of myself, but it was awesome. I had a fire burning in my heart. I just wanted to tell them, nothing tastes like Jesus. That was my message. I still remember it. Nothing tastes like Jesus. The guy that was the stuff up 6 months ago that had to apologize in front of the whole hostel for all my rubbish. 6 months later, I had a fire burning in my heart. Nothing tastes like Jesus. I have tasted. I remember going home, seeing one of my best friends, and he was looking at me, "What's wrong with you?" We were brying. And he's saying, "What's wrong with you? You look different. What's wrong with you?" Because I haven't cussed the whole evening. I haven't used blasphemous words because I couldn't previously say a sentence without cursing. And I remember telling him, "Kunrad, I met Jesus. I met him. He's changed me. He's given me a new heart." When you meet Jesus, things change in here. And it manifests on the outside. It gives us a heart of compassion that drives us to our knees to pray and to do silly things. Like get up and preach. Amen. Say new heart. Say tonight, the Lord's going to give me a new heart. Revival is coming to me. Amen. So I was listening to a guy sharing, Andres Bisoni, and he says, he's a guy that moves powerfully in the Holy Spirit. And he was at a meeting, and there was a mom dragging her teenage or a little older, but older, like say 20-year-old son to the front of the service. And he could see this guy does not want to be here. So the mom drags him. Talk. And so now the guy is trying to talk to him, but he can see the guy doesn't want to be here. He's like, you know, there's nothing. You know when you're speaking to someone, there's nothing going through. So he's just like, And he's trying everything, the preacher, he's trying everything, trying to tell him this and that. And the guy's just like, I want to get out of here. I don't want to be here. Everything about it, I don't want to be here. And then he says, Andres says, suddenly he felt the Holy, he was wanting to give up. And then suddenly he felt the Holy Spirit hovering just above him. And he says, next moment, the Holy Spirit moved into this young man. And he said, this young man gripped his heart like, ow! Ow! And he says, this young man fell to the ground screaming, I must change! I must change! Isn't that beautiful? The power of the Holy Spirit. Revival just hit this young man. And so often, we feel like, I don't want to change. It's not you that doesn't want to change. It's something wanting to keep you from changing. The real you was designed to know Him. But there's darkness. There's stuff withholding us, keeping us from saying, I want to change. So let's say it. I want to change. I'm helping you, yeah. I'm helping you. Look at this verse, Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. In other words, have a change of heart, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amazing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So just stretch forth your hand quickly. That's just practical that you can see it. Come on. How far is the kingdom of God? It's right here. It's touchable. It is that close. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God. All the armies of heaven are standing poised. They are ready. All the power of God is standing poised. All that God is standing right there, just waiting. Repent. I'll come. Have a change of heart. I will flood in. I will flood into the city. I will flood into Southernwood. I will flood your life with everything you need, everything you want. Everything you've been longing for is found in Jesus. But if it's just a theological concept, it is boring. But when the Holy Spirit takes Christ and makes Him a living reality to you, you are changed. Amen. But it begins with repent. Have a change of heart. Like that young man, I must change. As a young man, when I came to Jesus, I didn't realize how messed up I was. I thought it was a victory to stop swearing, stop drinking, and stop messing around. But I realized that's just external. The real challenge is in here. Falling in love with Him. Pursuing Him. Living a life that's all about His presence. And Jesus came. This was His message. He was announcing the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change. Turn. You can't change yourself, but you can call upon the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, change me. I'm such a stuff up. I was a stuff up. I was a complete stuff up. And I know a lot of us here was as well. I know your stories. When I've counseled you, I know your stories. I've heard your testimonies. Many of us were stuff ups. We were lost. We were in darkness. We had no way out until Jesus came and He plucked us out of that pit. And He gave us a new heart. Amen. This is the greatest miracle. This is the greatest miracle. When someone rebellious and stubborn and difficult and selfish and full of themselves and unholy and blaspheming and greedy and lustful and saying, stuff everybody and stuff God, they're on that way. And they meet Jesus and they turn around and they go with the other one. I spoke to a guy in this week. He was a drug addict. He had prostitute houses. He was the leader of the, he was like the pimp, and he had these prostitute houses. He had these clubs. He had all these things in Johannesburg. His brother was a Christian. His brother came to him and he begged him. I mean, he showed me his pictures. He was completely addicted to drugs. He was a mess. His brother came to speak to him and say, my brother, please turn to Jesus. And he said, if you say that again, I'm going to hit you. And he said again, my brother, please turn to Jesus. He got up and he beat his brother up. He knocked him out. He was out. And when his brother woke up, he got to him again and said, please, please turn to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And then he didn't turn there, but that sometime later his brother connected him with to get a job where some guy was a pastor and they had coffee or something. And the guy said, I don't want to talk about your religion. And then within an hour or two, they were talking about his religion. And slowly but surely, his heart started to turn. He became a Christian. Loves Jesus. Isn't that amazing? God would hit his own brother who was so demonized, so full of darkness that he would do such wicked things. He must hear this stuff. It was horrific. Now he loves Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love to hear. Well, I love to hear people's stories of how God has come to change. But when one man or one woman surrendered to the will of God can change a city or a nation. I can tell you so many stories. One man, one woman can change their community, change their environment. Eslam, Queenstown for Jesus, brother. Amen. Amen. We release you, brother, with an anointing to bring the kingdom there, right, in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't need the pastor. You just need Christ in you. You can change your environment. It just begins with God. I turn to you. Make me new. Give me a new heart. And then fill me with your spirit. Revival within me. And then revival will be outside of you. So we can say, God, so when will the kingdom come? The disciples asked Jesus this question. Jesus, when will the kingdom come? Do you know what his answer is? When my kingdom comes in you. Then my kingdom will come through you. That's where it begins. It just begins with an 18-year-old stuff up that falls in love with Jesus. And hundreds of lives are being changed. Little old me. There's greatness within you. Let's say it. There's greatness within me. Because Jesus lives in me. If you have turned to Christ, he lives in you. Look at this verse, Luke chapter 17. So I want to declare this over you that Jesus is alive. And he wants to touch you tonight. And he wants to give you a new heart. So now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here, see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. Say within me. The kingdom is within you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the kingdom will rush in and impact your heart and your being. I said this morning, but I mean, I've been praying for people for 15 years, laying hands on them. Every now and again, they would really have a God encounter. But now it just feels like in all the rest of the guys, people are experiencing God encounters more than ever before when we lay hands on them. What has changed? Has God changed? God hasn't changed. I have changed. My faith is more than ever before. My trust in him has grown more than ever before. His grace upon our lives is more than ever before. And it's increasing. Amen. Let's say it. His grace is increasing. And so a few years ago, I felt the Lord speak this to me. If you don't know my power, you don't know me. If you don't know my power, you don't know me. And there's a scripture that speaks about this, the deception that comes from the Pharisees who neither knew the scriptures nor the power of God. We need to experience and know the power of God. So just a story. I shared this quickly shortly last night as well, but a part of it. But 2 years ago, I came back from a trip, and we were just, I think it was India. Yeah, India 2 years ago. And just spoke some stories of what God has been doing in India. And at the end of the service, Sonika had a word of knowledge. He said, there's someone here that fell off a horse and you've got pain in your body because of it. I was like, Jesus, please let someone have fallen off a horse. And then there was someone, one of our leaders, 8 years ago at that time, fell off a horse as a 17-year-old. And she's had unbelievable pain for like 8 years. Couldn't sleep at night, etc. As Yolinda Chandler. And Sonika prayed for her, and that same night she slept for the first time in 8 years without back pain. Now, if you've had back pain, you know that is terrible. It's really painful. It affects your whole being, everything you're doing, trying to do. So Jesus heals backs. Amen. Hallelujah. And I shared last night, I've got many stories, but I'm just reminded of this again. We prayed last night for eyesight, and was it Latosh? 50% better? Okay. So we prayed for her. She had a God encounter, and her eyes, when she took a glass off, was 50% better than it was before. Amen. We celebrate everything in Jesus' name. Amen. But about 2 years ago, I prayed for Lilani's mother. That's beautiful. She's an Afrikaans lady. She didn't want to be in church. Her daughter dragged her. And so she was in church. And she had an eye disease. So she was losing eyesight. And the doctor said, you can't get back what you lost. And she had cataracts on both eyes. And then I prayed for her. And Lilani was crying because I could see this was like this major, major story for them. Prayed for her. First time I said, check. No, nothing. Check again. Maybe. And she said, oh, God knows. God knows. She want to go. I said, no. Pray again. Third time I prayed for her. I said, check. And then she started to cry. Her eyesight. Basically perfect. Boom. Cataracts gone. Went to the doctors that week. That same afternoon, Lilani changed her mom's phone. The text was on maximum size. And with her thick glasses, she could just see it. She changed it to normal text size. Took off the glasses and she could see it. Woohoo! Jesus heals. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. I'm sharing it for faith. Come on. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. All things are possible. I mean, Rosie has a Star Wars story as well. In Brazil, prayed for it was a lady, eh? And young girl, 16 years old, she had a skew spine. And so Rosie was praying for her, and at some stage she just felt the Holy Spirit lead her to put her fingers on either side of the spine, and then she pulled down. And then it straightened. In Jesus' name. Come on, give Jesus a hand. That's better than Star Wars. Who wants to do Star Wars when you can watch a movie, when you can live the life of seeing lives transformed? Another story was you were praying for a girl and God was busy with her and then someone touched her. So someone came, this girl was on the ground and she was... 7 years old, girl on the ground. And Rosie was holding the 7 year old. Another girl wanted to try and touch her and pray for her. And then when she was trying to touch this other girl, God lifted this other lady and threw her across the floor. She like touched her and the power of God hit her and she fell back. Come on, Star Wars, go jump. And she prayed about it and felt that God was saying, leave my child, I'm busy working in her. I'm working in her. Wouldn't it be awesome if your faith and my faith wasn't just a nice story, but it was a living reality? We would hear His voice. We would walk, we would tangibly feel and sense His presence. I mean, over the last 3 years, I wrote this in the book as well, but I'm experiencing a greater measure of the presence of God on my body and others as well. Sonika says she's also experiencing more of God's presence, but literally feeling more of God's presence as if we're going deeper into the Spirit. Imagine in any place you would walk in, you would be more aware of God than you are aware of those around you. Because then you would have the faith to step out and see the sick healed and delivered and set free. Amen. He's alive, but our senses must come alive. Amen. Look at this. John chapter 7, verse 38 to 39. It says, Jesus speaking, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, it says, rivers of living waters will flow forth from where? From the heart. So if your heart is messed, if your heart is stony, if your heart is rebellious and stubborn and difficult, etc., there's no river that's going to flow. But if your heart is humble and surrendered to Christ, and he gives you a new heart, and he increases your faith, rivers of life will flow forth from your inner being. Amen. Let's say it. Rivers of living waters will flow forth from my inner being. In Jesus' name. And then we're going to trust tonight, when we're going to pray for you, we're going to trust that rivers of life is going to flow into you and set you free and give you a new heart. And if you have sickness and disease in your body, we're going to trust the Lord to heal you. Almost finished. Daniel 3 verse 15. I want to share this just to end off with. For us to know the fullness of God, we need to overcome the spirit of this world. What is the spirit of this world? In the book of Daniel, it speaks about King Emperor Nebuchadnezzar. He made a gold statue, and then there would music, a symphony would play, and then everybody would bow. And if you don't bow, we cast you into a furnace. I believe in the same way, there's a spirit of this world, an unholy symphony playing continuously over the TV, the radio. Maybe our friends speaking, the newspaper, but there's the spirit saying, lust, be greedy, be unholy, be selfish, be stubborn, be rebellious. It's all about you. It's all about you. And the symphony's playing and most of society bows the knee. Many Christians even bow the knee. Yes, it's all about me. And then you're fine. They will leave you alone. But wait for the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Jewish boys, young men, men at that stage, that said, we want to live holy lives. We want to be different. The whole empire is worshiping the statue, but we will not. We will not. And this is the key, I believe, one of the keys for revival. When everybody's going that way, Jesus is probably leading you the other way. If you're unsure, check the crowd. Okay, that way. It's true. Even in the church, even Christians, you almost couldn't see a difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. So this verse, Daniel 3 verse 15 to 18. It says, now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. So Nebuchadnezzar is intimidating these three young men. They've called them, someone told about them. He called them, and now he's intimidating them. Man, an emperor, a guy that can just kill you right now. It says, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Da, da, da. That's rusted last week. The music, you're hearing it. It's dramatic. It's intimidating. This guy's fierce. Do you know that there's the same, that same spirit is operating here in Southernwood, here in East London, here in this country? We are continuously, Christians are continuously bombarded with, shut up, be quiet, sit in a corner. Who do you think you are? Intimidation. Intimidation. To be like the rest. Ugh, don't be so boring. You know, just have a bit of fun. The guys are going out on Saturday night. What about you? Oh, you're going to sit alone at home. Yeah, like a silly, yeah? Like a boring, you nerd, you, eh? Go with the boys. Go out and party. Be a man. The music is playing. That's the music. I remember as a student, the one big party every year. All the students across the university, one massive party. It was chaos. Guys would be dancing on the tables in their underwear. It was it was wild. And I knew. I was a young Christian at that stage. But I knew. And I was like, part of me is like, I want to be one of the boys. I want to be one of the boys. Like that. And in my hostel, in the one hallway, all the guys were partying, music was pumping. It was wild. I looked at this, turned around, walked out. Walked out into the darkness, walked out into the streets, was on my own. I remember that night, I felt lonely. I felt on my own. I was like, God, this sucks. I'm so thankful I did then. I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for then. Hundreds of lives would not be impacted by my life if I didn't do that. So you're going to be a wuss? Go with the flow. Or you're going to stand up and say, I'm not going to be like the world. I'm going to be different. I'm not going to bow before that idol. I'm not going to bow before that false happiness. I'm not going to bow before evil. I'm not going to be like the boys. This is the test, the ultimate test, especially for those who have just recently come to Christ. We are bound by our past. We are bound by the iniquity. We are bound to so many things. If you want to see revival, if you want to experience the power of God, I mean Star Wars Christianity, seeing God move through you powerfully, seeing lives transformed, then you need to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you say, let me read it to you. This is so powerful. You see, the spirit of the world is intimidating us. Just be like the rest. And in this verse, Daniel 3, 16 to 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the emperor, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery flame furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Oh, it's amazing. Applause in heaven, millions. Well done. Wow. What happens? Emperor freaks out, chucks them into the furnace. What happens? There's a fourth person that appears in the furnace with them. God. Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, some believe Jesus Christ came, stood with his young men. I'm with you. If you want Christ to be with you, if you want God to be with you, you need to say to the emperor, to the king, to the intimidation, to the friends, to the family, to the whosoever, we will not bow. We will not bow. We will not bow to your drinking. We will not bow to the to the toilet. We will, in the sense of vomiting later when you got drunk. We will not. Think about that. We're worshiping. I'm worshiping. You're worshiping that idol. You're worshiping the toilet. Our God is alive. He wants us to worship him. I did that. My first year, just before I came to Christ, I got so drunk, I almost died. They forced me, and I was, they want to be uncool. So, okay, fine. So they threw a glass full of hard liquor, just straight, boom, and I had to down it. I was up to do it. I almost died. I just told all my friends, because I was going, oh, save me, brother, I'm dead. But I was worshiping at the toilet. Now I'm worshiping the King of Kings. And I know his presence. And I know his power. And hundreds of lives are being transformed. And I believe God wants to impact thousands upon thousands upon thousands through this congregation. I felt the Lord say to me that in Southernwood he's going to raise up an army. An army completely sold out for Christ. I believe God has told me there's a pure army going to be raised up in this congregation here in Southernwood. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy it. I declare it. I release it. It's going to be. But Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can have all of him, but just turn. Put the phone off. Stop watching porn. Switch the computer off. Don't do that. It's going to stuff up your spirit. It's going to stuff up your mind. You won't be able to relate, guys, to a lady in a godly way. It will mess you up. Do you know how powerful it is when you get the temptation and you say, stuff you, devil. I'm not going to go like the other half of this nation of men watching porn. You see, revival must manifest in holiness. Otherwise, it's not real. It's not a new heart. It's not different. So I ask Sherelle to quickly come and share her story. She's got a beautiful story. Give her a hand.
Hello. I'm just going to go, speak how God revived my heart. And I'm going to start, where I grew up. I grew up in PE. Went to school there, and then we went to a happy clappy church. And then we moved to Hanky, a small town outside of PE, and then went to high school there, and that's when, I was at the happy clappy church. And then went to a Dutch Reformed church in Hanky with my grandmom, and for me, if you come from that background and it's Holy Spirit vibes going, and you go to a other church and there's nothing going on anymore, it's for me as well, it felt dead. So I was I told my grandma, I'm not coming to this church where I can't drink communion, where at first I could. So in high school, I got very rebellious because of things that happened in my childhood, and I was so stubborn. And I also had all these fears and phobias, I was claustrophobic and spiderphobic and all those phobics. And so I had all these and I was very rejection, I had this fear for rejection in the past, and I sort of kind of flipped my personality, and I started drinking heavily, and in my high school years, I got expelled from high school, in grade 11 I got expelled from school for drinking on the premises, school premises. And grade 12, I don't know how I passed high school. So in grade 12, I started smoking marijuana. It was gateway drug. Just started smoking marijuana. And the years after that, I became so numb and depressed that whenever I wanted to feel go to a happy place, I used to smoke weed. And I isolated myself from people because I hated them as well. So I isolated myself, and I didn't wanna be with people. And then I came to this one that I moved to just after college. I moved to East London last year, October, and I came to church, and these people were so nice, and I was ooh. Why are they gonna be so nice? And the night before I came to church, I told my sister, yes, I'm going to church. And then while I got into bed that night, I was like, these people know I don't do church. So I'm just gonna tell my sister now I'm going to church, but tomorrow morning I'll just sleep and they'll just leave me alone. But they didn't, because my mom was like, you know you're going to church. And I was like, ooh, my mama don't play. Let me go to church. And then I came to church, and I was like, I saw Pastor Andre and Sonica greeting the other people, and I was like, I hope they don't come to me. I hope they don't come to me. And they didn't. Just a few months after that, it was an encounter one, and then the morning at the Beacon Bay service, Rachel prayed for me, and the night I think it was Liz, she prayed for me, and that's when I surrendered my heart and gave my heart to the Lord. But the thing is, just after that I got baptized, but I didn't, like, it was amazing, but, like, the most significant moment for me was, like, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and because all of the things, all the fears and phobias, like, when, like, God hit, like, the presence hit me, I still told myself, because everyone was, like, falling next to me, and I was like, I'm not gonna fall, and then, like, when the lady hit me, I was like, I thought I was, okay, someone's going to catch me, I'm going to go to the back. And then I was like, okay, no, I'm going forward, it's fine. and that was like when everything turned around and like God just, like, he also gave me a new heart. Like, I didn't like people and I started loving people and I didn't do hugs and all those things. So it was quite a change for me. And, but I really, what I love about God is like when he touches you, it's not like in that moment you live for that moment. It's like you just want more and you want to be more in his presence. And like for me, it's like you get this hunger for him, like when he touches you, like, you, like, even when you're sitting there and his presence is within you. And I didn't believe that God lived in me, and but now I do. And this is the most amazing part for me about my testimony.
Thank you. She's a walking revival. Amen. God is turning, changing hearts one by one. When you and I refuse to bow before idols, then we will find ourselves in the presence of Christ. And who wants to be in the very presence of the God that created heaven and earth? Who wants to? Who wants to be in the presence of God? Then you need to say, I will not bow before idols. I will not go according to the way of the world. I will not worship at this false image. No more. And I feel that's what God wants to do tonight in many of our lives, to take a stand. No, I will not be intimidated anymore by people's opinion. No, I will not be quiet in the corner anymore. No, I will not submit to these things. No, I will not lie anymore. I will not steal. I will not lust. I will not be greedy. I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. That's what that not bowing to the idol, but bowing to Christ, will lead you into the presence of God. And this is what real revival looks like. Real revival is when a community of people bow before Christ and before no other. This is what God is doing in me. I'm getting like shots from different sides. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to stand before Jesus. I only care what he says. I only care what he thinks. The whole world can go that way, but I will follow Christ. Where are you at? Do you go with the flow? Or do you want to walk in the presence of God? Do you want the power of God in your life? And that's the decision we need to make. Amen.